From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast in the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up at a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail, into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at Saratoga, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna, down on our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. It's my tag team partner, the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. An exciting show coming to you this morning from today. It's heaven. The weather has been an issue up here again this year. Not today. It might be 65 degrees right now at Saratoga. A couple of battleship gray clouds hiding the sun every few minutes makes for a perfect morning here at the spa. Training's been going on for a few hours. Place is packed. There's breakfast at Saratoga. Rambles on this morning. Beautiful day. The only thing that's missing is my partner sitting alongside of me. What's happening, Jude?
Everything's cool. Beautiful day here in Lexington as well. Understand the weather's nice in Chicago, too. So we've got some fantastic racing this afternoon and looking forward to a fun day.
We talked about this during the week on Express Bet Radio on the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. One of the best days of the year of racing is Four-Star Dave Day and Arlington Million Day. They combine now almost every year. We will combine them for you on Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. Later on, Mike Beer is going to join me 5:30. We'll have the four-star Dave from Saratoga, the trio of grade ones, this Beverly D, the Secretariat, and the Arlington Million, 5 to 7:30 on SiriusXM 156. But really, if you're not, if you love horse racing, especially if you love turf racing, because we go to the green today, and that's really where the focus of attention is.
Yeah, well, it's just a fantastic card up at Arlington Park. The races are always top class. It's like a mini Breeders' Cup Turf Day every year. The best horses come out. We have a few Euro shippers usually, and later on we'll hear from Alistair Donald, who will give us all the insight leading up to those races with the Euros. And you know, I mean, It's one of those cards where you just can't wait to watch the races. I mean, you run through the scenarios in your head when you're handicapping and you start getting pumped up. But I just love Arlington Million Day. And then the four-star Dave is one of the great races in the United States on the grass. And I always remember that day we were there and it just absolutely monsooned. I'd never seen a grass race run in a storm like that. It was craziness. But yeah, it should be fun, and it's great that the weather's good, and we're going to have some excellent racing all day long at Saratoga. Some cool babies are coming out with nifty pedigrees and stuff, so it's going to be fun.
According to my Saratoga historian, Jerry Brown, who you may know as a little bit more famous son, Chad, who will join us in the first segment of the show, the second segment of the show in just a little bit. Jerry and his buddy Rob, who were out at the End Zone last night. I'm doing a Friday night gig over at the End Zone in Mechanicville. Great sports bar. A lot of fun. It's even more fun when you get to watch your Mets come back from a 6-3 deficit in the bottom of the ninth to win 7-6 and gain some ground on the wild card leader. After having a packed house for a Saratoga seminar, if I may humbly brag myself. This is the first year in This is for the last 3 years, it has rained at some point on Four Star Dave Day. And there is no rain in the forecast. That doesn't mean much here at Saratoga. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of an empty promise. Because right now there are more clouds in the sky than blue. But I don't think it's going to rain. I think we're going to be okay. But yeah, you talked about the monsoon 2 years ago in World Approval, sloshed home 3 years ago when you and Mike Pena were out at Arlington for the Million. They canceled here, and Acacia and I were under our tent here at Section B. If you're in Saratoga, come on by and say hello. I will be here all day, save the hour I'm on Talking Horses a little later on in the morning into the early afternoon. But they had to actually cancel halfway through the card back in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Saratoga has really turned into more of a weather story than a horse story. You just never know what's going to show up. And, you know, you have to get your picks in almost 2 days in advance for the newspaper, and it's hard to figure out who's going to win, but you got to figure out what kind of track they're going to have to be running on, and if the races are on the turf or off the turf. Or this is where Mark Hennig becomes invaluable, because he gets the information out to everyone on Twitter as soon as humanly possible. The guy's a freak. It's fantastic what he does. And I gave him a shout out the other day, because I don't even, you know, handicap until Mark puts out his bulletin.
Yeah, there's usually a four-way photo finish between Mark Hennig, my Talking Horses partner Andy Serling, our buddy Steve Bick, and from At the Races, and Dave Grenning from the Daily Racing Form. The four of them usually hit the line together as far as track conditions, on the turf, off the turf, weather. It's somebody should start a pool and just try and figure out who's going to get there first.
Hennig's up earlier than the rest of them. There's no doubt about it. So I would.
Yeah, but Andy has his phone set to like vibrate and wake him up when these notifications. I'm not even kidding. Like, Andy
text. The thing about it is Hennig's on site. You can get a picture of the actual dirt from Hennig sometimes.
Yes.
And you can't get that from the other guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Far more comprehensive coverage.
Earliest and more comprehensive. He's the king. Hennig is the king.
Yeah, he's pretty.
We should get him on and talk to him about what
goes into
all
that. Maybe we'll have him on next week.
Yeah.
Got a lot of requests for next week. Yeah. I could book the show just for requests because Michael will still be vacationing, so I'll be here with you again next week. But Kendrick Carmouche, he hit me with the, "Hey, man, when you got me on that radio show," walking out of here yesterday. Not a bad Kendrick. I told him, come on by next week, so we're going to set that up. Maybe we'll talk to Kendrick next week. He's had a very interesting 6 months. We have a great show lined up for you this morning. We will start it off with Chad Brown. Chad is here watching his horses train until about 9. He's then going to hop on a jet, fly to Arlington, and fly back tonight so that he can be here to watch his horses train tomorrow morning. The guy's a workhorse, and he gave us some time yesterday morning. So we'll hear from Chad about all of his horses running today in the 5 stakes, the one here at Saratoga, the 4-star Dave, and then there's 4 graded stakes on the turf if you add in the final race of the day at Arlington Park, whose name is escaping me right now. Is it the Pucker Up?
Pucker Up.
It is the Pucker Up. Okay. He'll go over all of his horses in those 5 stakes races. Little A, Acacia Courtney. Speaking of weather, we had to pull the plug early on our sales coverage Tuesday night. We kept playing the sale for you, but we had to get out of Dodge. We had to save the radio equipment. But Acacia will wrap up the sale. A couple of amazing Sons of Curlin for $1.5 million apiece. We'll talk about those. The New York Bred sales this weekend as well. Jack Knowlton, the operating manager of Saratoga Stables. Of course, they campaigned Funnyside 17 years ago. His campaign began as a 2-year-old right here at Saratoga. They unleashed a very nice-looking 2-year-old on Thursday. Tis the Law. He got a 90 buyer speed figure in his debut. effortless under Junior Alvarado. We'll talk to Jack about Tis the Law and, of course, reminisce about the gutsy gelding. And like Jude said earlier, you don't want to do anything on that Arlington Million card until you hear from Alistair Donald, the Doc, as they call him, from the International Racing Bureau. He's going to ring us at around 9:30 today, and we're going to talk about the Euros on that Arlington Million card. We'll also bring you the Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales, and the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. It's Carmen Barrera. The late Carmen Barrera passed away unexpectedly earlier this week. She was the horseman's liaison here at NYRA for over two decades, and I've never seen a winner's circle fill up like it did on Thursday when we honored Carmen very, very briefly. Her cousin, Juan Dominguez, who works here at NYRA, you see him on all the big race days in the winner's circle as part of the security team. Juan's going to soldier up and come on and talk for a few minutes about Carmen, who was such a wonderful, wonderful woman, one of the first people I remember as a kid being pushed around here in a stroller at NYRA. So we'll talk to Juan about today's Industry Star of the Week, the late, great Carmen Barrera. All of that and more. We'll take our first break. When we come back, you'll hear from Chad Brown. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Oscar Performance sweeps on the outside. Circus Couture up the rail. Toward the inside is Deauville. Here's Almanar, who's striding on the outside and gearing up for a run. Robert Bruce and 24-7. It's Century Dream. Here comes Cacho and DA between horses. On the outside is Almanar. And here's Robert Bruce, who's charged up to the lead. It's Robert Bruce. Robert Bruce has won the million from Almanar. Century Dream was third from Cacho and DA. The next 24-7 with Money Multiplier, Deauville, and Circus Couture was last. Robert Bruce, Almanar. It's a Chad Brown 1-2 and 202.29.
John G. Dooley, Staten Island's own, getting ready for one of his biggest days of the year. Arlington Million Day is upon us. Chad Brown has invaded the Chicagoland area with a plane full of horse flesh. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Yesterday morning, before the storm of Saturday and all of the racing across the country for the Chad Brown Barn was ready to hit after training, Chad was nice enough to sit down with us for a little bit to talk about his runners here in the four-star Dave and out in Chicago for Arlington Million Day. Here with trainer Chad Brown. He has horses in all of the Saturday at Saratoga stakes races that we will cover later on this afternoon. Chad, thanks for some time on a busy day.
Thanks for having me.
We'll start right here at the Spa. The four-star Dave got a couple in there. Raging Bull and Uni, mare against the boys. Not a move you usually utilize.
No, it's rare for us to run a female against the boys. But I think she's up to it. It's an exciting race. I'm really looking forward to it.
Distance, course, that was the decision to run her in here?
Yeah, and the timing of the race really fits for her. You know, she had a long break this winter. She came back really well, as you saw in her first race this year. Like you said, I like the mile distance, and I like this turf course at Saratoga for her.
Speaking of the turf courses at Saratoga, Raging Bull really thrived up here last year. A couple of exciting wins. Cutting back to the mile today for him. You think that's going to help his cause, looking for his first win of the year?
I hope so. You know, the mile and a quarter Arlington Million was the other option, and he just couldn't get there in the Manhattan against Bricks and Mortar and Robert Bruce. So I thought maybe try to avoid them this time, cut him back to a mile. It might be a tick short for him, but if a pace sets up in front of him, I could see him coming running and at the end and really running well in here.
Joel Rosario is going to ride Uni, Jose Ortiz on Raging Bull. Joel rode Raging Bull his entire career. Do you make that decision, or you leave this up to the jocks?
You know, I put it in the hands of the jocks and their agents, and I just tell them what I'm doing. And if they have certain rapport with certain horses, I want them to make the call where they feel most comfortable for a particular race. And the good news is we have really good jockeys on all our horses on Saturday.
And now we've taken the malice out of your hands so the fans can blame the agents and the riders when they are not happy.
Exactly. I always blame them, actually.
All right. That's Saratoga. Out at Arlington, you had a ton of success out there last year. Major player again in all three of the grade ones. You're going to try and defend a couple of titles, and we'll start there in the Beverly D, Sister Charlie. And what can you say about her at this point?
It's just remarkable. Super talented horse. She's very consistent, and looking forward to going back to Arlington with her.
Had the prep last time in the Diana. Last year she had run also in the Jenny Wiley. Do you feel she's ready for the mile and 3/16 off just the Diana this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, longer the better for her, and I like the extra week. You know, last year she won the Beverly D on 3 weeks rest. This year we have the 4 weeks. I think that's going to work into her favor.
In the Diana, you had four of the six runners, famously, 1, 2, 3. Thais went to the top. That the plan again in the Beverly D?
Yeah, she'll set the pace, and last year she was able to hold on for a piece in this race. So I could see a similar scenario potentially happening.
Competition of ideas, first time really against the big girls, if you will. Do you think the distance is going to help her as well?
I do. I don't think she'll have any problem with the distance. You know, she won at a mile and a quarter last year against a three-year-old in the American Oaks, and she's back in 3 weeks, though, so it'll be a little bit of a challenge for her. But, she's training well. I think it's worth a shot for her.
I know you were up at Saratoga, but she was down at Monmouth on Haskell Day. By all accounts, how did she handle all of the, for the lack of a term, mayhem down there?
Yeah, she seems to come out of it well. You know, obviously it was very hot, and the schedule got a little screwed up there, racing late and all that, and she kind of got caught in a paceless race and really ran well despite that. So she bounced out of it in good order, or I wouldn't be going here.
The only grade one on the Arlington Million card you didn't win last year was the Secretariat. Analyze it, ran a bang-up second. This year they've cut it back to the mile distance from the mile and a quarter. You run two, Fog of War and Valid Point.
Yeah, they're both doing really well. It's, you know, an opportunity here to go for a grade one with both horses. Interesting that they made the race a mile this year, so it's a different type of horse I'm bringing there, obviously. It's another race I'm really looking forward to. Both horses are doing fabulous.
Between the added distances of the Belmont Derby and the Saratoga Derby, you think this Secretariat cutback was a good decision for the mile?
I do. I do. No sense in having a lot of the same races around. I think it's a real niche in the middle of summer for a three-year-old miler to get a grade one.
All right, so there's the Secretariat. And the two big boys, Robert Bruce, defending champ. It's not often the defending champ's not going to be the favorite, especially when the horse that's going to be the favorite comes from the very same barn. And, you know, we talk about Sister Charlie and how remarkable she is. The story of Bricks and Mortar may be one of the best in horse racing right now.
Yeah, I mean, he had such a long break, and, you know, through patience and a lot of teamwork, a lot of people playing a role, this horse came back, obviously, better than ever. And he's another remarkable talent we're lucky to have.
When you look ahead with a horse like him, and I know it's race at a time, obviously, but do you start to think about the end of the year with him, provided all goes well in the Million, and what you do come Breeders' Cup time? Because I know a lot of people have questioned how effective he is at the mile, and obviously he's never been beyond a mile and a quarter. Do you start to formulate a plan? Do you have a plan already?
Not yet. I was going to see what happens in the Million and go from there. Obviously, there's a difficult decision to make with no middle distance for him. But we'll just see what happens.
Robert Bruce won this last year. Very impressive effort. It looked almost effortless, if you will. Comes in off a good second-place finish. Two Bricks and Mortar in that Manhattan. What do you feel about his chances?
He's doing well. He seems to be rounding into form at the right time. His workouts since the Manhattan have been the best I've seen this year from him. We know he likes the course. He likes it firm, and it should be firm if the forecast stays the way it's supposed to be. And I think he's going to run the best race this year that he has run.
Got one on the pucker up, too. Cafe Americano, how's she doing coming into the grade three?
She's doing great. You know, going into the Belmont Oaks, a little bit of a tall order for her, so we just backed off a little bit and pointed to this race. Obviously, her biggest challenge is the post. She drew outside here, which I wasn't happy with, but we'll just have to play the hand we're dealt, and hopefully Ibrad can tuck her in and work out a trip from there.
We've talked about all of the turf runners. Dunbar Road, Guarana, how are they doing? Big three-year-old filly races coming up later on this meet, and of course later on throughout the year.
They're doing great. You know, Dunbar Road's on target right now for the Alabama. She's training fabulous. Guarana bounced out of her win in the coaching club in good order. We're going to take a little more time with her and point her to the Cotillion and keep her on a mile and eighth for now. So, but, you know, knock on wood, everything's good with those two.
He's got a lot of favorites and a lot of races Saturday afternoon. Thank you, Chad Brown, for some time today. Best of luck, both at Saratoga and Arlington Park.
Thanks again for having me.
All right. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of favorites, Jude. I think that's the way to put it. I don't think he's not the favorite in any of those races.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it, and just how he has every horse cataloged in his mind, you know, how they're doing, what they're doing, why they're running, why they're not running. I mean, it's that was really entertaining. Good job.
Thanks. Yeah, you know what I love about Chad? It's him and I have we get along so well because we have a very similar mindset. We sit down, we want to get it done. And we want to move on with our day. I spend most of my Sunday afternoon with Patty and Jerry Brown in the backyard here at Saratoga, and Chad stops by, and it's a wonderful time, and I love socializing with him. But when it comes to business, we have a very similar mindset. Let's go through this. You got 7 zillion things to do. I got 4 zillion things to do. Let's get it done. you look at these PPs and, you know, these horses all look like they, I mean, layovers are a terrible term to use in a trio of grade ones, but I mean, barring anything unforeseen, he's likely going to win those three races at Arlington today.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the interesting thing about turf racing is trip plays a huge factor. So you don't know what these guys are going to do as far as, you know, working out a trip. He mentioned that in the pucker up from the 11 hole. You don't know how your horse is going to respond to being in traffic or where you might, you know, get a seam or where some other horse might get through and get the jump on you. So it's not cut and dried because you're running the best horse. That's the interesting thing about turf racing. Sometimes the best horse doesn't win because they have a bad trip. So that's his main concern now. When he gives a leg up to these guys, they're the ones that have to come through for him. The horses, I'm sure, are fit and ready and trained to the minute. So now it's in the hands of the riders, and we all know how dangerous that can be.
Well, please, don't get me started. I think it was very – the one thing I am glad that I got to not sneak in there but was able to incorporate in my time with Chad yesterday was the fact that I think the fans always wonder when there is, for the pun intended, the jockeying for position between riders on certain horses. I think it's pretty interesting that a barn, I mean, you know, the guy has the biggest barn in America right now. He has arguably one of the most successful barns in America. He leaves it up to the jocks and the agents to kind of sort that out and trust these guys. For a guy who has a lot of, who likes to have control, he puts these decisions in the hands of these agents and these riders.
Yeah, I'm sure he has some influence on. I think he was maybe downplaying that a little bit. But, you know, when you have that kind of quality of horse, I mean, certain riders that you use all the time, they can't ride every one. You know,
right.
Somebody has to.
You can't be in two places at one
right.
time as well.
And I think you're better off having a rider that really wants to ride a particular horse, you know, than you would be making an arbitrary decision and then, you know, have the rider have a bad taste in his mouth. You know, oh, I really wanted to ride that one, but he put me on the other one. You know, and it doesn't, I don't think it changes the fact that that horse could win, but I think it's just better having a good attitude going in as to one that I'm not so keen on this horse's chances. I thought it was really interesting that Javier picked Valid Point over Fog at War. Fog of War.
I am too.
Fog of War is a very good horse, but I understand Valid Point might be even a better horse. So, and then you saw the choice that they made to ride Valid Point. So I think he has a big chance today.
Yeah, big. That's in the Secretariat. We'll talk a little bit more about the Beverly D later on in the program. That is our Philly Focus race presented by Paramount Sales. Again, don't do anything Arlington Million Day without getting the dirt on the Euros. Alistair Donald going to come on at 9:30 to give you all of that. As we see, if bricks and mortar can keep up this legendary run, he was injured, almost certain to be retired, at death's door at a couple of points, and now he could very well be the best horse in training in the great United States, maybe on his way to legendary status. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This is the story of a man who, by accomplishment, was the picture of a veritable giant on the palette of the world of thoroughbred racing. From modest beginnings in Pennsylvania to his death at the age of 86, he had experienced unparalleled success in both racing and breeding. The green and white silks of his stable were accountable for four Kentucky Derby winners. He was born December 12, 1859, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where in his early years he worked in steel mills and other industrial establishments. Recognizing very quickly that his future lay in other forms of human endeavor, so to speak, he heeded Horace Greeley's advice to head west to become a part of our nation's then burgeoning westward expansion. He became both a prospector and a gold miner, and in a relatively short period of time managed to accrue enough equity to head for the windy city on the banks of Lake Michigan, Chicago, where he began to invest in real estate. In 1898, at the age of 39, he acquired a small stable of horses as part of following a physician's advice to get out into the open air more extensively. The first horse he purchased was named Fair John, and that horse registered the first win for the soon-to-be-renowned stable at Harlem, Illinois, July 27, 1898. The best of his early stable of thoroughbreds was named Bad News, because it traveled so fast, of course, who was by Flying Dutchman out of Black Sleeves. The horse had been purchased as a three-year-old from Woodford and Buckner. In 1906, he bought a 335-acre tract of land in the bluegrass of Kentucky and expanded his interest into breeding. That farm eventually embraced some 1,500 acres and housed such prominent stallions as Helmet, Black Tony, North Star III, Black Servant, Bubbling Over, Burgoo King, Balladeer, Bimlick, and Blue Larkspur. The name of the farm was Idlehour Farm and spawned four homebred Kentucky Derby winners. Behave Yourself in 1921, Bubbling Over in 1926, Burgoo King in 1932, and Broker's Tip in 1933. The latter broke his maiden in that Derby win in that infamous stretch duel with Head Play. Other notables from a virtually endless list that came from the Idlehour Farm just outside Lexington included Baba Kenny, Big Pebble, B-Mac, and Busher. This gentleman accumulated enormous wealth from a variety of vocational interests, including Chicago real estate holdings, extensive newspaper interests, and the Beach Club Casino in Palm Beach, Florida. He was a man widely known for his charity and philanthropy, with extensive involvement in projects such as orphanages and other worthy enterprises. Among his turf-related accomplishments were the development of the Fairgrounds Racetrack in New Orleans as a winter site for thoroughbred racing, and through his breeding stock was greatly responsible for the success of such subsequent luminaries of the world of racing as John W. Galbraith, Edward Morris, and movie mogul Louis B. Mayer. He died at the age of 86 on August 15, 1946, although the permanent influence of this octogenarian on the history and development of the American turf will always be indelibly emblazoned on its most glowing of pages. That man who made the green and white silks of the Idlehour Farm, the stuff of which legends are made, was a true titan of the thoroughbred world, and his story is indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing. He was Colonel E. R. Bradley.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there, coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And the field turns for home. Hard fun kind of got it out. And here comes Sweet Vincent now into the breach and on through to the lead. And Cullen's to his outside. Sweet Vincent in front of the eight hole. Cullen giving his all. A length and a half behind. And by the way, Carson, third and third. Coming out to the breach. Sweet Vincent. Here comes Cullen. Cullen surging. Sweet Vincent to the bottom. Too close to call! A racing whip from Robbie Alvarado. He thinks Cullen has defeated Sweet Vincent in the shadow of the wire. It was very, very close. And the final turn, equaling the fastest creatures ever, 1:53-2. Who won the race?
The legendary Tom Durkin on the call. He was pumped up for Preakness 2007, and it was in fact Curlin who got his nose down on the line over the Derby winner Street Sense. Give Steve Asmussen, his trainer, his first American Classic. Curlin on a big night on Tuesday across the street, the Humphrey Sales Pavilion. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN, the Big A. That's me. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. The Panther of the Pick Four is down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios. And on the road, heading back to the old spa. Choo-choo! That means one thing, gang. The A-train's in the house, the little A. Acacia Courtney, she was on our sales coverage this past Monday and Tuesday, along with Jude and Mike. Little A, what's happening?
How are you? How are we on this morning?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Driving back up to Saratoga, as you mentioned. I was a bridesmaid in my dear friend Colleen's wedding yesterday, which was a lot of fun. So great to get to do that in Connecticut. And heading back up for a big day of racing today, four-star day of untap.
Was the wedding nice?
It was. It was wonderful. Colleen was Miss Connecticut 2015, so the year after I was in the Miss America system. So a lot of people ask me a lot of times, how are the girls in the pageant system? Do you actually make friends? Are stereotypes real? And I was just a bridesmaid and one of the girls I met through pageantry and her wedding. So there you go.
Well, there you go. If I ever get married, you'll have to come and be my best girl, or whatever I would call you. I have no idea what it would be. Nice to get home, I'm sure. Been a busy meet for you up here, and instead of taking Monday and Tuesday off, you were nice enough to come back home for a couple of nights here to HRRN. Give us just, at first, before we ask you to get into the nuts and bolts, your overall thoughts on the sale.
Well, I think it really, it's always one of those sales because of when it's held and where it's held that it garners a lot of attention. And I think we all saw, especially Monday with the incredible weather that we had, just the atmosphere there at the sale with how many people come out, whether you're in the industry or you're just there visiting or you're a local in the Saratoga area, people come out to get a look, see, and they're the fun atmosphere, the party atmosphere in the backyard there, the bar by the walking ring, of course, and it was great to see so many people out. Of course, Tuesday was a little bit of the rain, and then being a two-night sale, maybe not quite as busy, but all in all, it's always fun to see it so well attended and seeing people taking so much notice of it. And of course, there's always some fireworks in the sales ring, and there's been a lot of hype about several horses, and certainly lived up to that hype, so it was a lot of fun to see.
They say that It's a big cocktail party with a horse sale attached to it. And that's essentially
right.
what it is. And, you know, you're rubbing elbows with some of the most famous people in racing. Virtually every Hall of Fame trainer is there. There's famous owners, people like Bobby Flay, who sold one of the big horses. So, you know, it's just a really fun atmosphere. And then the horse flesh is incredible. And you have that tremendous knack of picking out the right ones. You seem to come up with them every year. And
thank you.
Always impressive.
Thank you. I really enjoy kind of getting an early look at some of the horses at the sale. And especially for me working in the paddock, it's fun to be able to follow them to the racetrack. So I try to take a look at as many as I can or take notice of what's going on, because it's something that I'm kind of like to follow. And especially at this Saratoga sale, you see some new stallions. You see, obviously, some established stallions that continue to have such influence. And because they're yearlings, you get to see some of them buy or out of horses that just recently raced and see how their progeny do as well, which is always fun.
You've been working in this sport now for quite a while. I don't know how many years. I'd say at least five. Do you incorporate what you learn on those two nights at Saratoga into your handicapping and your discussion when you're working these races? Do you say, I saw this horse when he was a yearling, or do you have any notes, or how do you incorporate all that?
I do try to keep as many notes as I can. The yearlings, I think, are a little bit tougher because so much can change from the time that they're in the yearling sale to when they're on the racetrack. And it was funny, just the other day at Saratoga, I interviewed trainer Steve Asmussen before one of the races, and I was just making conversation before the interview started, and I said, did you have any luck at the sale? And he said, well, I'll find out in about a year and a half if I did, which I think is very telling. And that's just kind of how it is, especially, like I said, with the yearling. But for instance, in the two-year-old sales, which I do work a lot of, I really keep a lot of notes, and if I see a horse debuting at one of the tracks where I'm working that went through a two-year-old sale where I was, I'll try to look back at those notes, or in particular, try to watch the breeze again. I think that's important, and you might have a little bit more of an idea. Like I said, yearlings are a little bit tougher, but I think it's great to kind of get a gauge on where some of the breeding stands, what stallions to keep an eye on, which ones are really garnering a lot more attention than others, or maybe some changes from last year. Some stallions that are getting more attention or less attention. I think this is a good time of year to really check in on that from a handicapping standpoint.
Talking with the little A, Acacia Courtney, as we wrap up the sale. So, Acacia, you do some bloodstock work now. How is it different when you're reporting on it as opposed to looking for them? Like, do you look through that catalog Monday and Tuesday? Obviously, you look through the catalog, but do you look at it just as an analyst and knowing you're going to be on air, or do you keep an eye on things, maybe buzz a client or two and say, hey, this is what I would go come here looking for, who I'd come here looking at? Is it a little bit of both, or do you try and concentrate on the analyst part?
It's a little bit of both. When I do work in particular at the two-year-old sales, I'm shortlisting for someone else, so I'm also keeping in mind who I'm looking for. So it's not just my opinion, if you understand what I mean. I'm also looking for a certain model, for a certain program, for horses that will fit into the people that I'm looking for as far as shortlisting does go. In this particular sale in the yearlings, I am reporting on it, and I'm looking ahead, and something that I really focus a lot on in the races as well is, where do the storylines lie? Where are people that I'm going to be able to talk to hear good things from and hear things that are going to be beneficial for people listening? Obviously, having been to a lot of sales and my own curiosity, there are certain things that I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to. In November, I looked at some of the new stallions like Nyquist, Frosted, Run Happy, Exaggerator. I looked at some of these horses as weanlings. So I was really curious personally to see how they were going to translate to as yearlings now coming through this sale. So those are some things that I keep an eye on for myself as well, and some things that I personally wanted to highlight. And I thought that that could be a little bit of a new angle and a little bit of a new twist for people that were listening. But when I'm covering it as an analyst, it's going to be a little bit of a different preparation. But I do always have that Woodstock angle, I guess, in the back of my mind, because at the end of the day, that's what fuels the sale. You have people that are looking for certain things, horses that fit into the mold of what they're looking for. And sometimes you go to a sale and you're surprised, but for the most part, you're going to be looking around in the range of what you normally stick to. And I think it's important to remember that this is a select sale. So you're going to have some horses that are bringing higher prices, and for some people, that's not going to be within their budget or within what they're looking for at the time. But for people listening on the radio or following along on the sale, those are, of course, the storylines that they're going to be most interested in.
Were you surprised that those two Curlins went as high as they did?
No, not really, actually. I was really expecting, I believe it was Hip 173 that's out of America that was bred by Bobby Flay. I was really expecting that horse to go for quite a lot. And I thought that both of those Curlins would be over $1 million. When you get up to 1.5, especially for a yearling, it's a gamble with these horse sales, really, at any age. And it gives you a little bit of excitement and nervousness, and you're not even the one signing the ticket, but I think it's very exciting, and I really thought that both of those would go for quite a lot. And co-sales offers at 1.5 is definitely fireworks, as we said, but really thought in particular the one out of America was going to get a lot of attention.
Were you able to talk to Bobby Flay at all?
No, not at the sale. I had actually planned to try to get a chance to speak with him, but unfortunately with the rain and we had to wrap a little bit early. But I did know that had been a horse he was really excited about and one that he felt very, very high on. And great to see him in Saratoga this whole last week, and great to see him getting involved on the breeding side of things as well. And I think he's been a fun ambassador for the sport as well. So it's always exciting to see some new faces at the sales as well.
Is it true that Ryan and Sherry were the underbid are on the Bobby Flay Curlin?
Oh, yes. Very, very true. my parents were there at the sale on Monday, which was a lot of fun to have them in town. But my mom always jokes that she's really looking at the slow ones at the back of the pack to see which ones might end up on our farm next as OTCB is looking for their new career.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. I know big day coming up on Tuesday for Racing for Home.
Yes, we're in the middle of the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance accreditation process, which is very exciting for us. So Racing for Home, for those that are not familiar, is the 501c3 that my mother and I started back in 2010, and it's really grown exponentially in the past year and a half, really, I would say. And I'm the president. My mother really is hands-on with everything, and we have an excellent staff in Connecticut, and of course my dad as well, really, really involved. And it's been really rewarding for us because I would say horses have literally given me the world and allowed me to travel and given me opportunities that I never would have had. And we feel really strongly about being able to give back to these horses when their racing careers are done. So currently Racing for Home has 9 ex-race horses, a little bit more than we were anticipating, but there's a lot of need out there, and it's been very nice to see how much more aftercare has been in the conversation lately. We still have a long way to go as an industry, but I'm very proud to see everybody really banding together a lot more and making it a much bigger conversation.
From the yearling sales to aftercare, the little A does it all. Acacia, thanks for some time. We'll see you a little later on.
Absolutely. See you soon, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Acacia Courtney. She didn't sound hungover. That's a good thing.
She's too busy. I mean,
she's got work to do.
We've had some busy people on this show. I mean, Chad Brown, every minute of the day.
Just pulled up. He just pulled up on his golf cart.
Did he? Yeah. Every minute of the day is engineered. I mean, you know, when he tells you he can give you 8 minutes, that's 8 minutes. And, you know, he's got a lot of segments to his day. And Acacia's the same way. She has a lot of things going on. She wears a lot of hats and, you know, busy people. So,
yes, we thank them all for their time. Chad and Acacia in the books. Lots more to come. We'll take a break when we come back. It's the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. You are listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Attention, Kentucky breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup winning you're in the turf sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreds.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassig Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
McKenzie comes by the 16th pole, and he's going to do it. McKenzie has won the Whitney.
McKenzie, a son of Darley Stallion Street Sense, took command in the stretch and pulled away to a 1 3/4 length victory in the historic Grade 1 Whitney Stakes at Saratoga on August 3rd. It was the fourth Grade 1 victory for the colt, who has now won 7 of 12 starts and earned over $2.2 million. The victory earned McKenzie an automatic berth into the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and made him the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. In addition to McKenzie, Street Sense is also represented by 2019 graded stakes winners Dixie Blossom, Champagne Anyone, Airstrike, Dr. Mounty, and Aztec Sense. For more information about Street Sense and all the other Darley stallions, go to DarleyAmerica.com.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're coming down to the final furlong, and the gutsy gelding funny side has a narrow lead. Bobby Frankel's Derby New a piece close to his inside. Empire Maker is giving it all. Funny side trying to pull off the upset here. 12-1 coming down to the line, and the gutsy gelding funny side has won the 129th Kentucky Derby. With jockey Jose Santos aboard, and it was dead tight for second between Frank's horses. Peace Rolls and Empire Maker. That's what I'm talking about. Put in a belated run to be third.
I can listen to the stretch call of the 2003 Kentucky Derby on loop for the rest of my life. The gutsy gelding funny side got there. Hard to believe it was 16 years ago. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Time now for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And Stuart Morris offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. Would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. And nice enough to join us now to celebrate our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. It is the late, great Carmen Barrera, longtime horseman's liaison here at the New York Racing Association, left us very unexpectedly earlier this week at the age of just 60. And to know Carmen was to love Carmen, and her cousin, Juan Dominguez, who wears a lot of hats here at the New York Racing Association, nice enough to join us to remember Carmen for a little bit. Juan, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. We are so sorry for your loss.
Anthony, good morning.
to Des Moines. Thank you for your kind words. Carmel was beloved by everybody here at NYRA. She was the thread of what NYRA is, a longtime NYRA employee. You mentioned that I wore a lot of hats. Carmel wore a lot of hats also. She was very happy and proud of her family ties to the business. The Pereira family with her uncle training a Triple Crown winner in 1978, and her father training a Belmont winner in 1981.
Amazing. He upset Pleasant Colony.
Pleasant Colony. Stopped his Triple Crown that day at the Belmont with George Martens, and they were very sad of that moment. You know, she was a longtime NYRA employee. A lot of kind words. I've got a million texts and a million phone calls from people all over the country, not just here in New York, from Kentucky, California, the Midwest. She touched a lot of people. And the biggest thing people have told me is, you know, she would treat you the same if you had 100 horses or if you had one horse. You know, I mean, I have a lot of kind words from Todd Pletcher, Jim James Bond, Chad Brown. The list goes on and on. I mean, I can't mention everybody who's been so kind to our family at this trying time. But she was a great person, and she started here at NYRA as a white cap, you know, person with stampy hand in between the clubhouse and the grandstand, and she elevated herself to the head of that department, and then she transitioned, I guess, with the help of Terry Meeks to become the liaison for horsemen's relations, and eventually now working for Martin Panza as the director of that department.
She helped everybody that asked for help. Sean Clancy wrote a tremendous article about her for the Saratoga Special, and you know, I think it really illustrated what kind of person she was. She was organized, and she was brilliant at her job, but she had a streak of compassion that was endless.
Yeah, she was real. You know, she picked a special kind of person to do that kind of job. Deal with all the different personalities, everybody's wants and needs, and she was somehow or another, she could accommodate everybody. I mean, she never said no to anybody, no matter who you were or what you were, and she was very kind, and she made some tremendous relationships. She had some great friends here at NYRA, and here at NYRA, we're all a family, and at this trying time, the NYRA family has rounded around our family to give us a lot of support, and has been very kind. Everyone here at NYRA has been very generous with everything, offering things, you know, whatever we need. And luckily, you know, we're a tight-knit family. And the Barreras, there's not many left. Oscar Jr. and Oscar III are still out there. You know, we're going to be strong at this time for her family. She had a nephew and a niece, Brianna and Louis, that she raised for her sister's children. And that's, if you didn't do anything at all, you know, life at all, she did that, which something that she did. But besides that, she was very kind. I mean, like I said, guys, I can't express enough. I'm just blessed that I got to be touched. I mean, she was my cousin, but she was like more of a sister to me. We've gone away on holidays together. We spent, vacations together. And the same way that we had each other's backs, she had everybody's back. So for, you know, who you were or what you did. And she had a sense of humor too. And she was tough. She was stern, you know, but she knew how to deal with a lot of different people, and you know, we're blessed by her time with us.
Yes, we are. That's the best way to put it. I wrote this in the Albany Times Union, and Johnny, I know you most of my life, 35 years, I would say, right, at least since I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. She's one of the first people I remember at the track. She used to hang out with the gals on her breaks down in the HPPA office when Selma was down there, and I believe Barbara was the other one's name. Carmen helped teach me how to spell, you know, because I was at the track with my parents and stuff, and, you know, I remember she would be behind a typewriter, and she would bang out cat and dog and horse, and she would teach me how to help teach me how to spell. I close my eyes, and I can see her standing at the second floor, clubhouse exchange at Aqueduct, and Louie and Willie and Oscar sitting on that bench across from her, and it feels like yesterday, but it was a very long time ago. And, you know, Mrs. Whitney passing earlier in the meet, within the span of a year here at NYRA and part of the racing community, we lost three people Rick Violet, Mary Lou Whitney, and Carmen Barrera. And a lot of people who are kind of an outsider would say, you know, I know Mary Lou Whitney, I know Rick Violet, maybe they don't know the name Carmen Barrera. The fact is, on a day-to-day basis, Carmen did more than the other two combined, probably. Because, like you said, I don't think she knew what the word no meant. I don't think she knew the definition.
That's the truth. I mean, she was very kind to everybody. And one thing that I kind of, I mean, this year, I got her on my golf cart, and I got her going up to her father's barn. And I showed her where her father's barn, where Rudy Rodriguez is stable these days. And she got a kick out of it, and I don't know if you guys recall, but Louie won the Alabama with Prismatical. That was for Happy Valley. That was Mr. Wolfson's son, so Gary Steve Wolfson. But, I mean, I got to show the barn this year, and I took her out there, and she enjoyed that. You know, I can't say enough how kind people have been. You know, the phone calls, like I said again, and just everybody reaching out and being kind. But she's just a special fabric of Naira, a special friend from a special recent family. And, you know, just we were lucky to have her. And she's going to be sorely missed. Elise Jacobs, is, you know, her assistant there, she's done a great job. And who are good friends and stuff, and also Noel Petrani's in the office there, and they're trying to get through the things that they have to get through. And, you know, they're very kind people, and everyone here tonight has been very kind, like I said. But, I mean, she was a special person. It was nice of you guys to recognize her. I can't say enough about her, and just lucky to the time that we did spend with her. And she was a big part of racing in New York for 41 years.
Yeah, it was our honor, Johnny. Thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get back. We know service is tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow night over at the wake.
Guys, thank you again for being so kind and remembering her. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Juan. Juan Dominguez, cousin of Carmen Barrera, the late Carmen Barrera, who we lost this week at the age of 60. She was our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. We're back with hour number two of the Equine Forum right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then Tats between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant, but Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a on to run. One bad boy never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at Section B, a historic Saratoga race course in Saratoga Springs, New York. If you're in the area for the four-star Dave card or any card through the end of the meet on Labor Day, September 2nd. Stop on by and say hello. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, along with our producer, Lee Delapina. Thanks to Chad Brown and Acacia Courtney and Juan Dominguez, all guests in hour number one. Of course, they will all receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. If you're up here at Saratoga, hit their store over on Broadway. From a poignant moment with Juan Dominguez to someone, and I needed Jack Knowlton to be the one sitting next to me after reminiscing about Carmen Barrera, because I needed to put a smile on my face. And whenever I see Jack Knowlton, I think a funny side, and I get a smile on my face. The operating manager of Saratoga Stables for the past 24 years, Jack Knowlton joining us now. Jude's down in Kentucky. Jack, for some time this morning.
Good morning. Great to be here. I'm over here at Saratoga every morning, and real happy to join you this morning.
How great is it here? I mean, this might be now. I don't know how you do it up here year-round with these weather guys. I mean, you got a lot of pull up here. Can we get these guys and gals in line here? Where are all these clouds coming from, Jack?
You know, this is one of the toughest places to forecast weather, is what my weather forecaster friends say. It comes at you
shockingly
from every direction, right?
Shockingly. Yeah. Before you came on set, as you were coming on set, the 2003 Kentucky Derby stretch call was being played. If you had a dollar for every time you've listened to that race or watched that race, what tropical locale would you be able to take all of us to?
Just about anywhere, and I could probably buy another race car, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, such memories, right? And up here, of course, where it all began for the stable, right?
That's right. A long time ago, back in 1995, five of my high school buddies and I threw in $5,000 apiece. We bought a $22,000 New York bred that Tim Kelly found for us when he was training back then.
Now the clerk of scales here at NYRA.
And 8 horses later, we won the Kentucky Derby.
That, 8 horses later.
You spent more on the bus than your first horse, right?
Well, that bus was a rental because we were too cheap to take a commercial bus. We got the school bus for $1,300, and they wanted $3,600 for a real bus.
That was the most famous bus in the history of horse racing. There's no question about it.
I don't think there's any question. And then we doubled up for the Preakness and quadrupled up for Belmont.
Wow.
And you look, when you look back on that time, I mean, even though he didn't get it done in the Belmont Stakes, I mean, those 5 weeks just had to be as magical a time in your life as any.
Oh, they really were. And, you know, it was at a time when there were a lot of things going on in America that I think people really needed something positive to look to. And here were a bunch of ordinary guys that got lucky and got a racehorse, and it just kind of captured everybody's imagination. You know, the little guy does have a place in thoroughbred racing, and, you know, people love the underdog, and clearly we were the underdog. You know, we go to the Derby in a school bus, and, you know, everybody else probably is going in limousines and, you know, big buses and all of that. So it captured everybody's imagination. We had a great run, and I tell everybody, I'll go to my grave wondering what would have happened if it didn't rain 5 or 6 inches that day.
Yeah, we had a ton of rain that Friday into Saturday. I remember I don't remember if you were you at Gracie Mansion?
Yeah.
We were at Gracie Mansion together that Friday
night.
That's
right.
And you and I just kept looking. I thought it was you. I was overserved that night at Gracie Mansion as well. But I remember we were sinking into the grass, and I did not think that was going to be a good thing.
No, I mean, it started raining. We got on a bus at 8:30 on Saturday morning from the hotel. And the longer the day went, the harder it rained. I mean, it was just crazy. And they had 104,000 people at Belmont that day and rain. I mean, not very many people out of that 104,000 were able to stay dry. And it was just, you know, an incredible scene that unfortunately didn't go our way. But, you know, look, Empire Maker was bred to be a horse that could win the Belmont. And he was a tremendous horse. Fortunately for us, we beat him on the biggest day that it counts. And as usually happens, you know, the other horses in the Derby that don't win, that are really good horses, they'll skip the Preakness and take their shot at you at Belmont, and that's what happened to us.
You know, dude, I remember – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You became like a overnight celebrity when Funnyside was running, and especially – after he won the Derby, and you've always been such a great spokesperson, not only for your group, but for racing in general. How much did that have an effect on your life, being somebody that everybody recognized when they went in a bar at Gulfstream or they saw you at a racetrack? What did that do to affect your life?
Yeah, well, it obviously was life-changing because, you know, it opened up doors to continue on in the racing game. And we you know, really reconfigured Saratoga stable. Two of my major partners, Gus Williams and Dave Mann, both passed away. And my high school friends, once the kind of the glory of Funnyside began to fade, they stayed with me and, you know, did a couple more horses, but they didn't stick in the game for a long time, and I knew they wouldn't. So, you know, Ed Mitson and I, Ed's a Saratoga resident, owns Finger Paint, and very, very successful businessman. We decided that we needed to, you know, almost start over again with a new Saratoga, and we've done that. This horse is in our 17th limited liability company. Every time we buy a horse or horses, we set one up, and I've been able to stay in the game and go to Churchill every year. They're great. We get to buy a box, go to the races. They have a Funnyside race, a second race on Derby Day. We go and we present the trophy. We get to go to the winner's party after the Derby. All of those kinds of things, go to the Breeders' Cup. So it was life-changing. And, you know, we're happy to be in the game. I've become very, very involved in aftercare. I was on a group that the government appointed in New York, Task Force on Retired Racehorses, and that really got me involved in aftercare, and I continue to, you know, play a role. I'd worked with the Gaming Commission to have a couple of forums on aftercare. We were able to get some things done. One, which I'm very proud of, is that everyone who wants to be an owner, a trainer, assistant trainer, to get licensed, they have to attest that they have looked at a video that's on the Gaming Commission's website on the life cycle of the horse and aftercare. And that is something we need to continue to work on in this game.
And Jack does a ton of work with old friends as well. Saw you at both events this week, and we can't thank you enough, especially over at Red Brand Fence, all the work you do over at Old Friends Farm. Jack.
Well, it is, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's very important. Michael Blowen and Old Friends has been someone that I've been associated with for a long time. One of our earliest horses that predated Funnyside, named Saratoga Episode, is actually down at Michael's farm in Kentucky. And we have another one of our horses, the only horse that Saratoga's had to win a stake at Saratoga, a horse called Dock and Roll that won a Stallion Stakes race here in 2008. He's a recent addition to Old Friends at Cabin Creek. So what we do every time that we set up a syndicate, we make a $5,000 donation out to Joanne at Old Friends at Cabin Creek. And I'll make a pitch for the other fundraiser we do. We, 3 years ago, started having a rock and roll for retired racehorses. And it's a party, the cheapest ticket, $50 ticket that you can get in Saratoga in the summertime. This year it's August 22nd at Nanola. A great local band that goes back to the Funnyside days. They did a Funnyside song, and they came down to...
Were those the guys at the party?
Yeah. Cool. Blue Hand Luke.
We sang with Blue Hand Luke.
Yeah.
One of the two greatest moments I've ever seen in defeat in horse racing, Jude, when Todd Pletcher beat Chad Brown on the last day of the meet here a couple of years ago. The first person to congratulate Todd was Jerry Brown, Chad's dad, and they caught it on the Fox TV show. The greatest moment I've ever seen in defeat was the night Funnyside lost to Belmont Stakes, and I called the late Dave Mahan, and I said, you guys still having the party? You had invited me to the party, and I went over to the Holiday Inn?
Sheridan.
The Sheridan over by JFK Airport. And I walked into the ballroom. And I had never seen a party in defeat. Like, if that horse had won the Belmont, we might still be at the Sheridan. It was the most amazing thing. And Dave had seen me sing That's Life at the party. We had Robin and Barkley dancing in the middle of the floor at the press party, and Dave's like, we got to go do a number. Me, Dave, I miss Dave, too, because I kept in touch with Dave well after the Funnyside days. Me, Dave, and Jack went on stage with Blue Hand Luke and sang Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen. And just an amazing, amazing moment. These guys partied like they won the Belmont by 50 lengths. It was great.
Well, we said, we're going to have a celebration of our run. Whether we win or lose, it's been a tremendous time, something that none of us ever could have expected to happen in our life. And we got the band together and said, you know, let's have a party. I think we ran a hotel out of about 10 or 12 different brands of
everything.
Beer. Yeah.
Everything was gone. Everything was gone. So we say once in a lifetime. Would you guys turn the horse loose here on Thursday? That might not be once in a lifetime. Look, there's only going to be one funny side, but 'tis the law. That was some 90 buyer speed figure. I think I could have. You whispered in my ear Wednesday night at the Old Friends Fun Raid at an Ann's Washington Inn. I wish you would have just given me the mount. I could have used the jocks for you. I'm getting killed up here so far. Man, was he impressive. 90 buyer speed figure in his debut.
Pretty scary, to be honest with you. You know, I've always said, you get to the top of the mountain like we did with Funnyside, there's nowhere to go but down. And very honestly, we buy New York breads exclusively. And, you know, for us to pay, you know, over $100,000 is a lot of money for us. We got this horse last year for $110,000 at the, you know, New York bread sale here in Saratoga.
Coming up this weekend.
Yep. A new sire. I mean, there are some scary parallels here with Funnyside. As you said, there'll never be another Funnyside. I don't want to be, you know, comparing in any way, shape, or form, but there are some similarities here that when I look at, you know, what has developed and how it's developed and what this horse has done, that is pretty eerie. You know, I began to get, you know, kind of excited about this horse and his works up here at Saratoga. And going back to the late and great chief, Alan Juergens, a quote that I use all the time, because Funnyside used to just be a blazing horse in the morning. Alan Juergens said, fast horses work fast. So, you know, when Barkley brings this horse up here and I'm out here in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, whatever time it's going to be, and Junior Alvarado is on the horse. I mean, he's there one morning, supposed to be there at 6 o'clock, 6:01, bam, he's right at the barn. And that's the way Jose Santos was, again, a long time ago. And I see this horse work. And more impressively than just seeing him work, I mean, he worked in 59 and 3 one morning. The next work, 5 furlongs. The next work, a minute and 2 fifths, bullet out of 30. Working in company with a 3-year-old filly that Barkley has, Brusha de Terra, that was grade 1 stakes place last year.
Second in the Frisette to Jaywalk, the eventual 2-year-old filly champ in the Eclipse Awards.
Right. So, and he was right with her and galloped out stronger. I mean, you watch, and that's what impressed me more than anything else. You watch this horse gallop out. They can't even pull him up sometimes. He just wants to keep running. So he got, you know, a big number the other day, and you watch the race. I mean, and it's almost scary. He was asked for nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, he never saw, you know, the stick. I mean, Junior was just a passenger. I mean, you know, he was green, and he had to get him straightened out, and he's got a lot to learn. But the amount of talent he appears to have is pretty scary. It really is.
Is the funny side too quick for him back?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That
would have been great.
Well, you know, that had been kind of my dream. If we could ever get a horse to run in the funny side and get lucky enough to win it, to present the trophy to myself.
If that day comes, I would love to volunteer my services to present it to you, my friend. Let me tell you that. It would be a complete honor. Jack, thanks for some time this morning.
Okay. It's great to be here,
as always. We'll see you again before the meet's over, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can lay another $9 winner on me. I'm probably going to need it to get home, toll money and gas money.
I'd be happy to do that.
All right. The one and only Jack Knowlton, managing partner. I mean, let's face it, forget about managing partner. He is Saratoga Stables at this point. 'Tis the law. Maybe we'll see him in the hopeful. You never know. You never, ever know, Pontiff. We'll see what happens with 'Tis the law. Right now, though, it is time for the Bloodhorse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com.
Colonial Downs opening day greeted with enthusiasm, not only with thoroughbreds back racing at Colonial Downs for the first time in 6 years, August 8th, but emotions were running high as well for the people who worked to bring live racing back to New Kent, Virginia. This is a proud day for Virginians, especially those with a passion for horse racing, said John Marshall, executive vice president of the Colonial Downs Group. You can see it on their faces. They're really enthused and proud to see Colonial revive. That was clear, especially in the second race when Speed App returned Colonial's all-time leading trainer, Ferris Allen, to the winner's circle with his first runner of the meet. 3-year-old Virginia bred colt by Flatter was making his first start for Ferris in the Virginia Racing Club. He drew off by 5 lengths to win, going 6 furlongs on the main track. Allen was grateful for the new ownership group that selected him to train, and he also enjoyed the hometown feel. The trainer recalled his late father, Bert Allen, one of Virginia's biggest racing supporters, and his dedication to Colonial Downs, which first opened in 1997. My dad and I spent many trips here while the place was under construction, before it was even a thought, before we even knew it was going to be here, he said. We spent so much time getting racing to Virginia in the 80s and the 90s. It's all of that, too. It's a really amazing combination of things, quite honestly. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Have the latest racing breeding, sales, and industry news, as well as analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more right at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app. It's for your phone. It's updated throughout the day, can be delivered to you in a daily email, or you can listen on your Alexa device. Best part, they're all free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or to sign up today. Great to see that racing return to Colonial Downs in that area, really the first area in America where horse racing began here in the United States, and great to see it back down at Colonial Downs.
It's a really cool place, and Jill Byrne's been working double time trying to get the place up and running and doing a fantastic job down there. We're going to be visiting there.
This is the story of
for the Derby. Thanks, Pete. We're going to be down there for the Derby at the end of the month, and looking forward to that. It's really exciting to have that track back. When I was running Chestnut Farm for Michael House, he had the Battle of Hastings win the Derby, so I'm looking forward to that race being back, and just a really cool place to race.
Yeah, looking forward to that coverage August 31st. We're going to tag team that. It'll be the final Saturday at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. Mike Beer and I will bring you the Woodward, amongst other stakes here at Saratoga, and then we'll throw it down for nighttime coverage of the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks to Mike and Jude down in New Kent at Colonial Downs. We'll take a break, come back, Philly Focus, and the Duck, Alistair Donald, to talk about the Euros on Millions Day out at Arlington Park. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-mesh non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference.
Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including multiple stakes winner Autumn Warrior and Sipican Harbor winner of the Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes at Saratoga. On the track, Orb continues to add winners. And in the sales ring, his two-year-olds have sold up to $250,000 in 2019. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They have less than a quarter of a mile to go, and it's Face who leads at the turn-in. Right there, Sister Charlie now switched out with Violetti Inflexibility, with Athena between horses of the outside four-star Crook, and Daddy's Little Darling finishing well toward the inside, but in behind horses. And here's Sister Charlie's run for the lead. Four-star Crook on the outside. Chad Brown, 1-2. It's Sister Charlie and Jenny Velasquez. Three quarters of a length to four-star Crook. And then Face was right there on the wire for third with Daddy's Little Darling. And Flexibility was next to Nialetti. Athena flattened with Oso to Replay. And Dono Bruja never picked up. It was Sister Charlie, part of the Chad Brown Brigade, wins the Beverly D for a fifth time.
Sister Charlie. Chad Brown going for number six. Sister Charlie going for back-to-back Beverly D's today at Arlington Park. Welcome back to Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN, the Big A. That's me, filling in for Mike Penna. Jude Feld in his usual co-host spot on the Equine Forum. Time now here on the Equine Forum for the Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
All right, now Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales, is the Beverly D today. Out at Arlington, it kicks off the graded stakes action. In fact, a trio of grade ones starts the All Stakes Pick 4 for those of you out there looking to make some money. Going to have 8 or 9 in this Beverly, 7 or 8 in this Beverly D today, depending on what they do with Magic Wand, who is cross-entered in the millions later on in the day. What can you say about Sister Charlie at this point, Jude, that hasn't been said already?
Yeah, she's a sensational mare. Just keeps winning. Fantastic record and tremendous form. I mean, Chad's done a great job with her in her last, well, every start in the United States has been first or second. So her speed figures continue to improve. She's just amazing, and so she'll take some beating today for sure. I mean, she doesn't seem to need any kind of pace or anything else. She's just a champion filly, and Chad said it himself, you know, and when you're a champion, you can win off a layoff, you can do amazing things, and she's proven that time and time again.
Well, she doesn't have to worry about pace. She has her pal Thais in there. There'll be a pace. There was a pace last time. Manny Franco did his job in the Diana. Irad Ortiz Jr., assuming we'll do his today. I'll tell you what, that was the plan last year. This filly almost upset the apple cart, Thais, at 47-1. She finished third in the process of setting the pace last year. They did it a little differently last time, though, and I would imagine that the same game plan is going to be intact in here. I think they're just going to let her roll from the rip.
Yeah, I would think, although, you know, Irad might have his own ideas about that. He's probably not going to blast off the way Manny Franco did. So I could see maybe maybe a similar situation. It's a longer race, and maybe they'll try to take it a little easier. But there'll be plenty of pace for Sister Charlie. You don't have to worry about her. I think the horse that people need to be concerned about is Fleeting, because Fleeting's in great form, and she comes here in good shape. Now, she's a three-year-old facing older, so she might be up against it that way. But she certainly is going to benefit from the 6 pounds less she carries, and she's got Ryan Moore. So I think that's the one that is the biggest concern.
Yeah, and this weight for age, she's the only three-year-old. And quite frankly, yes, we have the PPs, obviously, and we watch replays, but she's the unknown, right?
Right.
I don't think anything that we've seen, the other Chad Brown here, Competition of Ideas, the local horse, oh, so terrible, and remember Daisy, a couple of locals, actually. I think we've seen enough of Magic Wand and her three U.S. starts as well. And Thais, I don't think anything we've seen already, whether it's here or across the pond, can beat Sister Charlie. I guess it would be Awesome Tank, who's going to be in post, or Fleeting. But I'm not going to try and be cute. She's my single today. If Sister Charlie gets beat, I will not be hitting any of these pick fours or pick fives. It's a guaranteed $300,000 pick four as well. But regardless of the wagering, should be a tremendous race. We have Alistair Donald on the line. We'll get to him in a minute. First, a few words from Paramount Sales.
Paramount Sales has long been a perennial leading consigner in North America. Since their inception in 2001, Paramount has sold many sale toppers and has been at or near the top of every sale in which they've consigned horses by average. Recent Greatest Stakes winning graduates include Gormley.
Gormley takes the lead.
Instagram
could not have been more impressive.
Bulletin.
Bulletin is a Breeders' Cup winner.
And Bourbon Resolution.
Bourbon Resolution is long gone.
Learn more at ParamountSales.net.
All right. Nice enough to join us now for his annual spot on the Equine Forum. Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau. Alistair, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hi, guys. How are you all?
Good. Good. Good to hear your voice.
Doing well.
Well,
I'm new to this.
Yeah, well, I'm new to it too, but we'll give it a go. It's a great day in Chicago. It's bright and sunny here, and a little bit of cloud cover, but we're looking forward to a great day's racing here.
Yeah, beautiful day here in Saratoga. Great day. Weather should not be a factor out in the Chicagoland area. Let's start off with, do we know, Alistair, where Magic Wand is running?
We don't. We think she's leaning towards the million, but it'll be officially confirmed at 9 o'clock this morning, so we're about half an hour away from that. But all the vibes are that she's in the million.
Okay, so that'll leave us with a field of seven in the Beverly D, which kicks off the graded stakes action. A couple of Euros we haven't seen, Fleeting and Awesome Tank.
Yeah, I think she's an interesting filly. I think you have to throw out her last run, which didn't necessarily go according to plan, but I think her run at Epsom in the Group 3 was a solid effort, and it was probably a little bit better than the Group 3, to be honest. The filly that finished third, Voracious, went on one of the Falmouth Stakes, which is a Group 1, Grade 1 race at Newmarket in July, so that sort of franked that form a bit, and she'll be an outsider in this because everybody's looking at Sister Charlie, and I think it's very hard not to look at Sister Charlie and think of her as the winner of this race, but she might just run a little bit better than her odds suggest.
That was the number two Awesome Tank. What about Fleeting, the three-year-old who's going to try the older fillies for the first time?
Well, over the years, I've always been a little bit concerned about three-year-old fillies. I know Euro Charlene won it as a three-year-old, but not many have, and I think she's in a tough spot here. But having said that, she is a top-class filly. She's been second in two classics in the Irish Oaks, the English Oaks, third in that, second in the Ribblesdale. I mean, she's been keeping some pretty good company back over in the UK. And she's a definite Group 1, Grade 1 filly in the making. But up against Sister Charlotte over this trip, which is probably just her minimum trip, maybe a little bit short for her, I think she's got it all to do.
All right, that's the Beverly D, really, with Magic Wand, looking like she's going to run in the million. The Secretariat, you know, with Sister Charlie in the Beverly D, and we'll get to the Arlington Million, but with Chad Brown's potent 1-2 of defending champion Robert Bruce and Bricks and Mortar, perhaps the Secretariat is the most fertile ground for the Euros to land a win on the card. They have two in here. Let's start with, they're both from Aidan O'Brien and from Coolmore. Let's start with Van Beethoven.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think it is perhaps the most open race on the card. You know, it's really a question that I think is of which of these three-year-olds has got the most improvement in them. And Van Beethoven, he's been running in some top-class company. He's been running in the French Guineas, the Irish Guineas. He's been running at Royal Ascot and the St. James's Palace. He's finished sort of mid-division, beaten sort of a few lengths in all of those races. But those are tough races, and he sets a pretty decent standard. But we probably know how good he is, and it's a question of whether that's good enough or not. I don't know.
Right to his outside, Never No More. Ryan Moore going to ride this one for Aidan O'Brien. This one won a Guineas trial last time out. He's never been beyond 7 furlongs. He's a perfect 2-for-2 at that distance. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think he is the most interesting contender in the race because he is open to any amount of improvement. Winning the Guineas trial, I don't know, he had a setback of some sort, and I don't know precisely what it was, because that's why we haven't seen him, obviously, since April. But the form of that Guineas trial reads pretty well, given that the horse he beat, Mad Moon, went on to be second in the classics, in a derby. So, you know, he's I think he's right up there, and if he's fit, which I'm sure Aidan will have him fit, he's the horse I think that's open to any amount of improvement, and I think he's the one that really interests me.
Yeah, he's got a sensational record, 3 wins and 5 starts, and his sire's proven to be pretty good, No Name Ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's nothing not to like about it, about the horse at all. And I think the fact that we're running Hope Keir over a mile on the Arlington Oval is going to be no problem for him at all.
Do the two turns, when you're looking at these races, especially with the three-year-olds coming in, and the shortest of the three races now with the Secretary being cut back to a mile, does the second turn play any role in your handicapping these horses? Because more often than not, the Euros, especially at the mile, have never seen a second turn in their races.
No, I don't think it worries me too much. I take it on trust. They'll be okay with that. They have plenty of time to work these things out back at home, and I don't really factor it in.
All right, talking with Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau, going over all the Euros on the Arlington Million card. All right, we get to the big one, the Arlington Million, and we'll just go post position order on down. Magic Wand, we've seen her a handful of times now in the U.S. She comes in, looks like she's going to lean to the million to take on the boys. She has never won at the mile and a quarter distance, but she's never been off the board at the same time, 4 seconds and a third. Is this her trip? Do you think this is the prudent move to run her against the boys in the million?
Well, I think it makes sense in that I think probably you know, this trip at 10 furlongs may be her minimum. I think if she ran in the Beverly D, it would be even shorter. And as I say, she'd be up against Sister Charlie. So I think the trip is okay for her. But then, you know, she's, you know, her form is there for everyone to see. But she's got to turn it around on Pegasus form with bricks and mortar. And can she do that? I don't know. I struggle slightly to find, you know, reasons how she can and how she, or why she should, you know, and bricks and mortar goes in, he's on a five win streak at the moment. I think he's going to make it six.
What is his reputation overseas, Alistair? Because here, you know, there's a lot of rumblings and I'm part of the chorus. I think he's one of the best turf horses we've seen around here in a very, very long time. And by that, I mean 10, 15, 20 years. He's the goods. Does he have that reputation overseas?
I think he is starting to get noticed overseas. I mean, we're a little bit slow to sort of recognize American turf form because there's a sort of slight arrogance back at home, maybe, that we think we've got all the turf horses, but that is not the case, and he's clearly a very special horse. That is clear, and of course we will probably sit up and take notice when he comes and wins the Breeders' Cup Turf as well.
Hunting Horn, Pivoine, what can you tell us about those two?
Well, Hunting Horn's been running consistently, but he is a little bit exposed. He's been running well in top class company. He keeps running up against a horse called Enable, which he seems to find quite tough. But we know she is something special. You know, he certainly belongs in the field, but can I see him winning it? I think he might struggle just a bit.
Okay, how about Pivoine from Ireland?
Pivoine, trained by Andrew Balding, has the assistance of a top jockey in Sylvester D'Souza, you know, twice a champion jockey in the UK. He's coming over for the ride. Probably the horse's best run was when he won last time up at York in a very competitive handicap. But that was a handicap. He's up against graded company now. And he, I think he'll run better than his odds. He's about 20 to 1 or something, 15 to 1 on the morning line. I think he's better than that. But he's got it to do a bit in this class, I think.
And finally, the last one in the Million, Intelligent, gets blinkers and Lasix, as well as an American rider in Florent Giroux.
Well, he's got, I think having Florent Giroux on board is a big plus. I was talking to his trainer, Fabrice Chappet, last night. The horse has got some good form. He's a grade one winner at three. And he just said that he's never had the horse better. And I think, again, he might run better than his odds suggest he will. He is a grade one winner, and I think he'll go well. And I think his trainer certainly is expecting a big run from him.
All right. Well, you don't do anything here if you listen to the Equine Forum until you hear from Alistair Donald when it comes to the Euros on the Arlington Million card. Alistair, thanks again for some time. Enjoy the day out in Chicago.
We will, and thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
You as well. Alistair Donald, the Duck from the International Racing Bureau, chock full of information, just like my coffee, Jude.
Yeah, he's a class act, and love talking to Alistair. You can get in a conversation with him and talk for hours. He's got the skinny. So.
He sure does. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jude and I will talk a little 2-year-old Saratoga Special. Comes up right before the 4-star Dave today here at Saratoga. June and I will talk to 2-year-olds when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and Stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are you're going to have a fabulous time. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time 1:10 p.m.
Adina Spring Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Zapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one 3-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the Coaching Club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Meade is up there 3 wide, and Spinoff is well in the race, too. He's just 2 lengths behind as they come toward the top of the stretch. Call Paul turning for home in front. On the outside, Tight 10, Spinoff swings off the rail, tries to run down the top two who are stride for stride, and bumped briefly there with 1 furlong to run. It is Tight 10 and Call Paul. Call Paul, Tight 10, Spinoff is third. Call Paul digs in. Tight 10 tries to get by, but Call Paul's got something left, and Call Paul's going to win the Saratoga Special. Tight 10 was second, Spinoff was third, and Meade fourth in 1:16.55.
Larry Comas on the call of the Saratoga Special from last year. Call Paul went on to win a multitude of stakes races as both a 2- and a 3-year-old. We'll see if any of the 8 runners in this year's renewal can follow in his footsteps. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. For all of our selections, just about 12 minutes when we wrap up the Equine Forum, you can head over to horseracingradio.net and take a listen to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Jude and I go over a dozen races, 7 today, 5 tomorrow, so we literally have you covered coast to coast, west to east, north to south, Saturday and Sunday. This Saratoga Special this year, Jude, a field of 8, if the morning line holds true, this is going to be a very wide open board come 5 o'clock or so this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, typical 2-year-old race, a lot of first-time out winners, and you don't know how they're going to respond against the likes. I think that Green Light Go kind of has a lot of extra things to like about him. First of all, he got a 93 Brisnet speed figure, which is par for this level when he broke his maiden, so that's a plus for him. And he's had two bullet works, his last two works, which means he's still in good form and pretty flashy works at that. 46-1 blowout on August the 6th. You get a trainer like Jimmy Jerkins who doesn't rush, who knows how to train, who does everything right. You got to like him. I mean, I think he's probably the horse to bet on. But there's a couple other ones. Noose is interesting to me. He won by 5 at Churchill Downs. He was game that day. He overcame some traffic. He's by more than ready. He also blew out nicely, 47-1, August the 2nd at Churchill Downs. I think he's a possibility. And then the horse to his outside, Zeramid. He's by City Zip, out of an unbridled song mare. So the pedigree is there. He ran a good race at Saratoga in his last start. Won by 2 3/4. That was the second race of his life. He finished third in the slop first time out. The horse that won that race came back to win. So the form is there on him. Steve Asmussen, Ricardo Santana, they've been doing good with babies, and I think you have to look at him. But those are the three I'm mainly interested in.
Head coach Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm has Tuggle with Jeremiah Englehart. Great story behind Tuggle. This was a horse that the coach named after one of his players who was not with Coach Parcells for very long, diagnosed with cancer, passed away at the young age of 25. He named one after Tuggle. This horse was impressive first time out. I know it was an off-the-turf race. I know it was in the slop, but second-place finisher Montauk Daddy came back to win up here at Saratoga, and we'll see what he can do, and maybe a fast track, he'll be even better.
Yeah, Jeremiah's had a good meeting with his two-year-olds, too, and it's been my experience when a trainer has a lot of good two-year-olds and they're winning, all the two-year-olds seem to be winning in their barns, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the competition with those good horses drives everybody else up a notch. And so it's good.
You've talked about that a lot in the past. Explain that. We had a couple of minutes. Explain that a little bit in 90 seconds.
Well, when you have a bunch of nice two-year-olds and you pair them up in works, as most trainers do, and try to teach them some things, the fact that they're working against other fast two-year-olds makes them faster, sharper, better. And so the whole barn, the whole group of two-year-olds is improved because they're training against horses that can run. And it seems to be very streaky with trainers. Some years you'll have a lot of good two-year-olds and some years you'll have a lot of slow ones. So when you see a guy like Jeremiah Englehart have a bunch of two-year-old winners, that kind of tells me that all of his two-year-olds are pretty good and there's a better chance of them winning than a single horse from another barn that may not be hot. You know, we've seen some years where Todd Pletcher wins every two-year-old race. Well, the reason is because he's got a bunch of really good two-year-olds. And same happens with Chad Brown. And those are the bigger barns. But when a smaller trainer, and Jeremiah Englehart is not a small trainer, but,
by any means.
Compared to Pletcher and Chad Brown, he's a smaller barn, and he's not really noted for being a big two-year-old trainer. So when his horses start winning all the time, I think that's a really good sign.
All right, well, we'll see if Tuggle can keep his two-year-old success going here at Saratoga. Field of 8 for that Saratoga special comes your way at 5:11 Eastern time. We'll take one more break. When we come back, we will wrap this edition of the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Power.
Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. What's the Saturday plan, Pontiff? Where are we racing today?
Well, we're racing at Arlington in Saratoga, and then we're racing tonight.
Where will you be doing your racing today?
I will be doing my racing from home. I will be watching via television. So,
well, I will be right here at Section B, starting at 5:30. Yes, sir. Mike Beer will join me for Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. We'll have the four-star Dave from Saratoga, and then a trio of stakes races, the grade ones from Arlington, the Beverly D, the Secretariat, and, of course, the Arlington Million. That coverage presented by Twin Spires, as well as the Breeders' Cup. Truly one of the best days of racing. A lot of the clouds burning off here at the Spa. If you are in shouting distance, you got to come out here today. It is supposed to be a brilliant weather day, a fantastic 11-race card. Really, really looking forward to this Saturday, as I do every year on Arlington Million Day.
Yeah, it's a great day of racing, and hopefully everybody cashes a lot of tickets, has a good time, and be ready for next week.
So Magic Wand will be running in the Arlington Million, and the Great Day has been officially scratched. I closed my PPs already. The Great Day will be running in the million. So, Magic Wand will be running in the million, as opposed to the Beverly D earlier on the card. And you can scratch the number 6, The Great Day, from the Arlington Million. We will bring you that million later on this afternoon. Sirius XM 156, Fight Nation from 5:30 to 7:30. Of course, you can stream it live worldwide right here on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. Thanks to all of our guests this morning, Chad Brown, Acacia Courtney, Jack Knowlton, Juan Dominguez, and Alistair Donald. They'll all be receiving apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion for horse racing over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Enjoy your sensational Saturday of horse racing, Jude.
Will do. You too. And have a great show this afternoon. And we'll talk to you Wednesday.
On behalf of Jude Feld and our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Say what you got to say, Jude.
Good night, Barbados.